Welcome to the Ether. Today is Friday, December 17th, 2021. This is a CeFi space discussing the KuCoin Infinity bot. Let's take a listen.
Hey guys, going to wait a couple minutes for some people to arrive, I guess. In the meantime, if anyone has any off-topic questions or thoughts, hop right on. We'll wait for some folks to get on to cover what I think about this KuCoin thing.
Yo, what's up, man? How are you doing?
Hey, what's going on?
Yeah.
I'm going to be kind of eating in between, too, because I'm sort of at the drive-thru and shit eating.
That's nice. Enjoy. Well, I have an exam pretty soon, so I should be studying. But, you know, I mean, it's just rough.
Maybe you should be.
Yeah, it's going to be fine. I wanted to hear your thoughts on something. I'm specifically locking out the Biluna Luna LPs and S-Report. So, technically, I mean, you earn, and with being an LP, you earn trading fees, right? So if the trading fees drop significantly from, I think, 30 cents to 9 cents, with Astroport and the current APR is 12%, the APR might drop to like maybe single digits, like 1 to 4%.
You mean people that are...
No, so I mean, when you migrate your LPs to Astroport, you might sacrifice a lot of the, let's call it, native LP rewards from the trading fees, but you get Astro new reward. So I've been thinking whether the better strategy might be to lock up the LP token now for 12 months because you sacrifice so much rewards from the trading fees, but just lock it up for a shorter time frame and then instead stake your Astro tokens to VX Astro to make 2.5x on the Astro rewards, and then put your Luna into Luna X to gain more percentage on your Luna. You know, you following me?
Yeah. I'm not 100% sure. Like, I know that when you have the initial lock drop, you're still technically, I think, still receiving the TerraSwap rewards portion of it until Astroport actually goes live. After it goes live, I'm still not 100% sure exactly, you know, what the trading fees on Astroport will be. I don't know exactly how many people are going to be using Astroport versus TerraSwap immediately, right? And then how much of it is it going to be worth in Astro rewards and whatnot is all kind of a gray area too. Sort of hard to predict all that. I think it's a long play really on the acquisition of the Astro token than it is to worry about sort of the immediate sort of APY that you may or may not receive with the opportunity cost of having moved from the existing APY on TerraSwap. The other thing is, the other math that's not clear is, so what's going to happen to the TerraSwap APY? If, let's say, I don't know, 50% of people, once Astroport opens, start using it, then remember those APYs are generated by transactional activity. So if the transactional activity drops, that could have an effect on APY. On the other hand, you could have a positive effect on APY if there's less total participants and therefore you become a larger portion of the Luna v Luna pool in TerraSwap, right? So it's the exact net effect of all this and like what's the better opportunity cost is unknown. So I think whatever you're doing in the long term Biluna Luna pool, like on Astroport, that should be something, like, in my mind, you're doing for the Astro token and, you know, without fully knowing any of the pros and cons, honestly. I really have no idea where, like, which would be the quote-unquote better outcome, right? So I think if you're bullish on the Astro system, the Astroport system, and you have especially large LPs as opposed to maybe some of us who are sort of small retail investors, then if you're like a mega LP provider, then you probably are going to want the Astro token for the various like governance benefits that that's going to provide you. The other thing too is as the Terra ecosystem gets much, much larger and you have an incentivized AMM, the presumption is there's going to be lot more economic activity on Astroport over the long range view, with kind of the system designed to sort of entice whales and such to acquire Astro token and to participate in that system and create like a positive feedback loop for the token. So they've thought through the tokenomics pretty extensively. So I think any sort of play on like a 52 week lock drop or something like that, or whatever that, 52 week lockup period or anything long-term like that, is really like a bullishness on, what you think a Delphi Digital project is capable of accomplishing. And I don't think any of us can tell you for sure what the right answer is and what your time frame is. So that's just kind of my take on that. But on a separate note, I think there's going to be ongoing attempts for people to try to sort of use the Luna v Luna arbitrages that are available, whether it's on Astroport or on TerraSwap. I think you'll have the opportunity to shop around for where you can get sort of the best swap rate in terms of, some of the, discount rates we've been getting on Bonded Luna, on Luna X sometimes. Like the other day, I got like a 2.5%, discount on Luna X. So I got that. So each of these possible Luna pairs is going to create a different set of ARB opportunities theoretically too. So the other thing you give up if you go with the B Luna Luna lock drop is you're no longer, some people pointed out, you're no longer doing the Luna B Luna arbitrage anymore. So that's another sort of opportunity cost. Anyway, I think we got enough people in. I was going to maybe cover the subject in the actual header. Toxic, if you have another question related to that, go ahead.
Yeah, sorry, didn't mean to distract from the topic, but my rationale also behind locking not for too long is because I need UST for the Prism lock drop, which is probably going to happen in January. So I'm pretty much UST broke at the moment. So I'm going to need to be Luna for Prism. And I think this might also be very profitable if I have to choose whether doing only Astro or doing Prism, because as of now, all my Luna is an Astro, but I didn't lock.
Of course.
Long. Yeah.
Yeah. There's other opportunity cost within the system to locking everything up. So there's definitely that. And it also depends on like over the next year with these different protocols coming out, some really interesting ones like Andromeda and others, Mars and such, whether you have incoming, cash flow to from other sources to sort of jump in on those things or not, which could be good. But anyway, so I was gonna talk about subject to hand. Was waiting for a few people to come in and get into some questions later. But basically, KuCoin released a new bot on their sort of trading bot page, which looks super interesting to me, called the KuCoin Infinity Bot, which is essentially a type of grid bot. And what it does is it essentially sets up a fairly easy to use system that is, not fairly easy to use. You can be an idiot and use it really, super easy to use. And it represents sort of a bullish bias, bot. And I think could be one of the more lucrative ways I could be spending my like anchor borrow power without much real like risk to, without much risk. So what it does is, so you enter a position, like let's take, for example, Luna's price right now is $67 at the moment. And if I were to enter that, enter an order in that bot, you basically set up the amount of USDT. Unfortunately, these bots are not available in UST, which I've been kind of like volleying for and messaging KuCoin over and over again for. But on USDT, you would park, you know, however much you wanted to park, which would be like, for example, let's take an example of $1,000 just for like easy math. If I were to put in a position right now at what it would do is it would basically buy the amount of Luna that I would need to fill in this sort of bot range. And what you do is you set all your only setting really, the only settings you really have are the lower limit of where you think the price of your asset that you're interested in would go. So for example, if I set a lower limit order for Luna, let's say at, I don't know, I think there's pretty good volume support at, let's say $44 or some $45. So let's say I pick a bottom range of 45 and I put in a $1,000 amount. What it's going to do is it's going to set me up with some chunk of that in Luna, and then it's going to set up orders every, say, for example, 1% below the current price. It's going to leave enough USDT to buy all the way down to 45 bucks, with current price being 67. So the reason to, so how you set that lower limit has a lot to do with your sort of intention when it comes to buying Luna. So for example, let's say I just want, I'm really bullish on Luna. I want to have, I don't mind buying Luna at the current price of $67. Then what I would do is basically set a lower limit to the grid bot. You could set it to almost the current price. So you could say, well, you know, $67 is my price. I'm going to put a lower limit at, let's say, 65. So it's only going to keep a little bit of tether in reserve to buy me more Luna if the price dips a little bit. But mostly it's a play on the upside, and we'll get into that in a second. So, and you could also set the limit order to where it basically is at the exact price that you are now, like 67 bucks. And then what will happen is if your price of the asset you're interested in drops below the level of the lower limit, then it'll just basically do nothing. So essentially no different than hodling the coin if the price goes down. So if you, now if you, so it's basically a bullish kind of bot in the sense that it's now every 1% the price goes up past $67. So let's say that number is like, you know, 0.67 cents higher is 1% or whatever, then it's going to sell 1% of your position as each percentage goes up. And then it's going to put a new buy order for 1% below the price that it sold. So it's basically just doing a lot of arbitrage buys and sells at a 1% increment. And you don't have to worry about the upper limit of the bot. So you could, like, you know, theoretically run it forever, like run it for years on end, because as long as the price is going on the way up, essentially what it's doing is it's playing on 1% volatility up and down, and it's cashing that out in the form of USDT. So essentially what it's doing is it's keeping your original account of Luna intact that it bought for you, and it is basically keeping that number constant. It's not auto compounding, so it's not taking your USDT output and buying you more Luna, which I thought would have been a an interesting feature. It's basically just extracting USDT so that you can like keep track pretty easily of how much extra money you've made besides just hodling the coin. So obviously, you know, our output in terms of APY usually is going to run by staking, let's say on a Luna X auto compounder or whatever. Let's say you're sitting at about 10% auto compounded, you know, benefit over 1 year if all you did was stake it. If you put in an Infinity bot and the price goes down and you end up riding into sort of, let's say, some kind of bearish market, let's say, then really, you can just simply exit the grid bot and just stake your coins normally if you feel like it, right? Because let's say you were going to just buy Luna today anyway, right? So you didn't lose anything in a sense, because all that happened as it went to the bottom of the bot was it just bought you more Luna with your money. And then you basically took that and parked it. You could just stake it if you feel like it. On the other hand, you could just simply reset the bot at that point and say, wait, I'm going to just close this and start it over at a lower level. You know, that's another option. But if the price keeps, the price goes up. So let's say, for example, you know, Luna heads off to, you know, let's say a year or two from now or whatever, let's say Luna's above $1,000. Then what it's done the entire time is it's basically every single 1% up and down, it's extracted some Tether. And especially if you're borrowing off of your, off of money somewhere. So let's say it costs me to borrow on Anchor at some point in the future, then I need to have an APY that exceeds my borrow rate to make that worthwhile. And you need that USDT stash that it's creating to get bigger and bigger over time. And usually with these 1% APY bots, you know, if you look at the typical like a volatility of something like Luna, you're probably going to make, I'm guessing, about over a year, you know, in a system like this, I think you could rationally make about 100% APY, if not much higher, if there's a lot of volatility, and especially if the price of Luna goes up. Now, when Luna goes up, what happens is on a one, it's a geometric algorithm, so it's like 1% per per trade. So let's say Luna's price is at a, you know, $500, then the 1% of 500 is much, much higher, right? So what you're ending up getting is the higher it goes, the bigger your actual output yield gets per 1% arbitrage trade. But as you know, in crypto, like the percentage volatility doesn't tend to change that much as price goes up. And this is, I would think, would be especially true of Luna because it's, you know, deflationary and therefore sort of like, you know, there's a constant supply constraint pressure, which tends to ensure volatility even as price rises. Unlike something like, you know, even BTC has gotten a bit more stabilized to where a lot of people tend to take leverage if they're trading to ride the ups and downs. Whereas something like Luna is still relatively early with ultra high volatility and 1% up and down probably happens, you know, how many times a day? You know, you could probably run one of these things and probably get something like, you know, somewhere between 10 and 21% trades per day. So it, the output on something like this could be very, very good. So I think it's essentially a risk-free way to acquire arbitrage yield. When I say risk-free, this is assuming, of course, that you're perfectly fine with hodling your Luna, no matter what the price is. If you're one of these people that are, you know, I've got to pay the mortgage or whatever, and you know, these people that, you know, are going to sell low and panic and stuff, this type of nothing is really risk-free in that respect. But if you have a certain amount and you were going to get Luna anyway, and this is just one of the options of sort of expending that bolus of money to net you a more likely higher yield than you probably can get in almost any other way that I can think of. So even the Luna like arbitrage, that's basically a 2% yield per trade, and that gets you about 24. It takes about 24 days to accomplish that. Whereas you'll probably do something very similar, if not more powerful, using an Infinity bot. So I think it is a pretty cool thing. It's simpler to set up than a traditional grid bot, because a traditional bot, what it does is you set a bottom range and a top range, and if your coin price goes above the top range, it's basically sold out all of your coin. That's not really what most of us want to do with our Luna. We want to hodl our Luna, which actually makes more sense to do the Infinity bot. So anyway, it's definitely something to try experimenting with and see what kind of results you get. But historically, with these type of things, the math is pretty simple. I would typically set the percentage grid to about 1%-ish. If you want less trades to happen, like maybe make it 1.5% to 2%. The reason why you set approximately 1% is you could do something crazy. Well, not crazy, but you could do something like a 5% grid increment. Let's just take an example. And what can happen though is you might miss those bottoms because your grid depth is too wide. So you might fall down to, let's say the price of a coin drops 5%, it makes a buy, it drops another 4%, but then it misses, it doesn't go down to the next grid increment, it misses the next buy. So the purpose of having about a 1% increment is to make sure you catch those bottoms effectively. So and let me get Jason on too. Any questions about that system, and have you guys seen it, played with it, had some experience with it? Jason, go ahead.
Yeah, so I've been doing a lot of grid bot stuff lately over the last 2 weeks, and it's been very, very, very profitable. But I've not put any Luna on there because of what you just said about the possibility of losing it if it went past my top and never came back down. One of the other things I worry about is getting too much money on KuCoin because I'm doing a lot of grid bots there. What would your take be on the security of that as people start putting more and more money onto KuCoin, especially if it becomes a large amount of
KuCoin? Yeah, KuCoin years ago had a hack, which was substantial. I believe they restored most people's funds, interestingly, during that. But the security implementation on KuCoin has been way more hardcore over the last couple of years. As you've noticed, how many different sort of authentications you have to go through now just to execute a trade. And, you know, I mean, to each his own as far as whether you like to leave anything on exchanges or not. The other way to do bots and things is to use an external service, which basically would do the same thing, except they charge you and you still have to keep money on the exchange to do it, right? So it's there's a pro and con to that. There's also, of course, the tax implications of lots of different transactions that one might want to keep in mind as well. But you should be able to export your information to Coinly, I believe, is what most people end up doing with this.
So I noticed the Infinity Bot also only works on the phone app. I'm just working through it right now. I'm going to put some Luna on there and see how it goes. The biggest one, just so guys can, you know, I don't know who's all used grid bots, but like I've done CADA for the last 36 hours and I'm up like 2,500% or something like that. So some of these really work really good. And everyone I have, like the worst one I have, is probably like 100% APR right now. So yeah. I'm running a lot of them right now and they're all doing
usually
pretty good. So
usually with a reasonably set up grid, if you're not getting at least 100% APY, then something's gone way wrong. Like that's pretty normal. A 200% APY would be considered like a fairly reasonable standard. Keeping in mind that during bearish conditions, the setup becomes more maybe relevant in terms of like the numbers. And the idea would be that if you set up the lower limit bearish enough to ride out whatever you think is either short or longer term bear market bottom, then you don't have to worry about the thing. You just let the thing ride. The flip side would be you don't give a shit what the bottom is, because let's say, for example, I set the lower limit of my bot to $40 for Luna and I don't mind owning it at $40, then that's fine. It'll buy all the way to the bottom anyway. And, you know, I'll be fine either way. So I think these things work really well as if you're in accumulation mode where you don't mind if you end up getting access to the coin at a lower price, but the APY won't show up positive necessarily in the sense that it's going to show that your sort of total position might be at a loss for a while. Right. So you don't want to follow that. You want to be watching the actual yield output, the arbitrage trades and what they're making you. Because had you hodled the coin, you would have ridden it down anyway, right? It makes no difference. Whereas when you're using this system, every 1% it drops, it buys more. Every 1% it goes up, it gets more. So you almost want it to drop initially. So you, like if Luna's $67 right now and you set your lower range of your bot to $55, you want the thing to drop to 55 and then climb back up, theoretically, because you're making all those arbitrages of all the volatility on the way down, all the volatility on the way up, and that's how you make a buck off these things. You want crazy, crazy volatility. Block question there regarding this particularly. or Mosdes. You guys are, some of you guys came up before we started chatting about this. So I'm not sure if you have specific questions regarding this tactic or not. Blocker Moss, you guys there?
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry.
Oh, there you are.
I didn't realize you were speaking to me. I was at work, but,
oh yeah.
Yeah, so I just had a quick question on kind of the general census, I guess, on trading bots. I started a KDA grid bot, spot grid bot, after, you know, listened to a bunch of your spaces just to kind of test the waters and try to learn something. Got in around 9.6 was when I started, because I had a little bit of bear sentiment, and I figured, you know, if KDA goes lower, it'll be nice to buy some bottoms and get some profit off the
How low did you set your limit?
I let the AI set it. It's around $6.
Okay.
So it never got that low, but I was kind of just curious, at what point do you think it's best to just turn the bot off and then just let it ride?
Well, the bot's most useful. If you talk about a grid bot, it's most useful the narrower the range you create, because basically you're playing off of the volatility of a narrow range. Because what happens is, let's say I pick a really wide range, like let's say I say Kadena $1. And the top at $100 for everyone's reference, the thing's like $11 right now. If I do a crazy wide range, my trades are going to be so wide apart. And even if I have tons of grid increments, my total amount of trade per grid gets so small that you're making like a nickel here and there, right? Like, it depends on how much, you know, volatility you get, but still, you wind up not doing as well. So the technical trading aspect of a traditional grid bot is you'd have to get fairly decent at setting ranges. The problem is that who knows what things are really going to do? Nobody really, right? So at the end of the day, the problem with a traditional grid bot tends to be you can play the volatility, and if you set it bearish enough, right? I think grid bots are useful in a bear condition, because think about it. If you set your bottom limit low enough, and it's going to have most of your money in Tether, right? And if your price goes above the upper range, great, fine. You made out with a minor amount of profit and, you know, no foul. On the other hand, if it drops, then you're doing a good job, like buying the dip essentially and riding all that volatility. So a traditional grid bot, I think, is good for a bearish condition, in my opinion. Or if you think something's going to be really sideways, like, I don't know, XRP is a good example of a shitcoin that goes sideways a lot. And you could basically just steal volatility from that and like cash that out. There are some others that have been fairly sideways. Like Chainlink has been kind of doing that for a while and such. So if you're really bullish on something, sometimes the best thing is just buy and hold it if you think something's going to explode immediately. The Infinity Bot, I think, alleviates this concern, though. I think in the Infinity Bot, you're not compounding your gains by like adding more, let's say, Luna. It's trying to keep your Luna count the exact same. It's just trying to extract the volatility yield. So I think the Infinity Bot makes the most sense in a lot of ways, because we sort of like do the most research on the things that we're most bullish about in terms of coins. So we then tend to have a good feeling for those coins because we're watching them all the time. And I think the Infinity Bot is probably the more straightforward way to do this. And if you, let's say, you know, you started at $1,000 Infinity Bot today and the price drops, I could basically go do a much bigger one at a lower range, right? Because the lower it goes, the even more bullish one would get about getting into it, because it benefits the most on the upside volatility versus the downside. And it goes on, like it says, for infinity, meaning like no matter what Luna's price goes to, for example, $100, $150, $200, it doesn't make any difference. It doesn't ever sell out your initial core Luna position, so you don't have to do a damn thing. The problem with the regular grid bot is it gets to the top of the range, and you're like, shit, I lost out on all the gains because it sold all my coin, right? Whereas this, it actually just simply keeping your coin, extracting the volatility yield, which I think is pretty powerful in its own right. But yeah, Block, does that make sense? Or
yeah, that does. That makes a lot of sense. That basically answers my question.
Yeah, more specific to Kadena as a good example, you know, I feel like it's hit a fib at like, you know, eight something. I think it had like an $8 something fib. So that would have been a moment where, like, where I just bought more Kadena. I didn't enter any kind of bot with it necessarily, because I don't want to do a grid bot if that's my core position, because like then I miss substantial portions of the upside. Like I would do a grid bot as a maybe an ancillary thing to earn some yield on something I'm bullish on anyway, but I have my core position. I'm not messing with it because I don't want to lose my gains on the, if it goes up a lot, right? Which, so that's kind of a way to look at that. And there are only so many coins that you're like sort of ultra bullish on anyway, right? There's a lot of things you're like, I don't know, a lot of random coin, like metaverse coins and stuff. One thing to look at is that the, a lot of the coins on the Infinity bot, there are only so many on there. So it's not like you have the Infinite bot has more to do with the upper price, but it doesn't include the infinity amount of tokens on KuCoin. I think there was only like, maybe like, I don't know, I just on gross estimation, like 30 or 40 coins on there. So don't just get into some coin just because. Make sure it's something that makes sense, not just to play the volatility. I always say you should only get into these things if you're perfectly fine being a bag holder in that coin at the bottom.
Yeah, of course. That's kind of why I jumped into the Kadena bot. I do have a side position of Kadena, holding, you know, in case, just to hold long term. And then I figured just in case Kadena started really dipping, because for a second there during that crash, no one kind of knew where it was going to go for a moment. But I figured, you know, I could scoop some bottom and then maybe like when the market looked like it was going back up, just kind of turn it off and then just move that Kadena over to my trading account was kind of the process.
Yeah. Now, keep in mind, if it drops below your bot, you can just let it stay there. It's not a big deal. I certainly wouldn't. I typically don't sell low. So if it goes drops below, sometimes I just let the bot ride and do nothing, let it sit.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking about just turning it off and then just like holding it and then.
Yeah, you could do that too. Because you effectively bought the dip right at that point.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So why bother?
But yeah, I'll start looking into that Infinity bot more. That's why I jumped in the space, because I had seen it on KuCoin. I just hadn't had the time to really dive in and learn what I needed to learn.
Like for KDA, like that might be the good option, is instead of a regular grid bot, I'd probably do the Infinity for that one.
Okay, yeah.
Because it has a really, really high long-term upside, right? But a relatively low, you know, downside, in the sense that like even it goes to 50% of what it is, like so what? You just let it ride out, is my view. But
is
anyway.
There a way to stake your Kadena yet? Do they have DeFi applications? I don't think
not
really,
really
any, right?
Coin Metro has a deal, but like it's for fairly small amounts. I don't know if the yield or whatever they give on that, like, was sort of like limited to the number of subscribers on there. So I don't know if you can even get that right now. But KuCoin withdrawals and deposits are back on that coin, by the way. So
yeah, I did see that. Thank you.
So that's kind of cool. But awesome. Anyway,
appreciate it. Yeah, I'll let someone else come up here.
Yeah, Christmas Powers, what's up? Are you there, Crypto Powers? Or hello, Robbie. I think a lot of people are sort of at work, so have to hop on. Go ahead.
Hi. I was. Can everyone hear me? Okay. Can you hear me? Okay.
Yeah, you're good. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, great. Sorry, the first time I actually used this thing in the app. But I was curious. I got in a little late, but I thought I learned quite a bit from what to choose and like how the bot works. I see this being recorded. Is there like a place to download it later?
This is the first time I've ever used this function. Previously, the thing didn't give me a record function. I don't know if you just have to have a certain number of these to get that or not. Hmm. But I think TerraSpaces, who's here now, tends to record these. If this recording thing works, then I guess maybe TerraSpaces can link it or something. I'm not sure. But they've been keeping a good collection of different Twitter spaces related to Terra. Sort of like collected, so you might be able to pick it up there. I don't know how, if you got all of the this current conversation or not. Some of these I sort of start impromptu when I have a little bit of time. I wish I could like schedule them all. I just don't know when I have time, so I just sort of do them when I can. There is one we're doing in, let's see, about a couple of hours, by the way, that's going to be specific to Nexus Protocol and talking with one of the members of the protocol and going over ideas for Nexus, just in case you're a either coin holder or want to see some new utilities come to that protocol and such. So
yeah, definitely. Yeah, this is, I've been in a couple of your spaces. They've been really great. So to keep them up, and thanks for doing it.
Yeah. Cool. Powers, you there?
Yeah. My bad. I was getting a call here at work. I was just going to ask a very basic question here. I'm starting to play around with the bots as well on KuCoin, and the KuCoin Infinity bot. How is that different from just a regular grid bot?
On the way down, it's about the same in terms of price dropping. On the way up, it's different. You don't have to have all it does. So on the way up, what it does is a regular grid bot actually predetermines based on the upper limit you set. So, for example, let's say a regular grid bot, I have a $67. Let me mute one of my mics. So I think there's some noise in your background. So I'm going to mute yours for a second. If I can. So yeah, the what happens with a regular grid bot is you set an upper range. So let's say Luna's price right now is $67, and I think I want to get out of this bot when Luna hits $100. I want to sell on increments all the way up to $100, and then it'll buy and sell in any, you know, up and down increment on the grid on the way up. Now that would be a situation where I know that at the top of the grid, I just want to exit to cash. So, you know, there'd be good reasons to potentially do that. And, you know, it's a slightly different arrangement. With the Infinity bot, what happens is so for every 1% up it goes, it will sell, let's say, you know, when Luna hits, let's say, let's just make the numbers a little easier. Let's say Luna's $100 and it goes to 101. And this is a 1% increment grid bot. It will sell a fraction, a 1% of my Luna at that 1% grid increment. And so it'll sell at $101. Immediately, what it will do is it'll put another buy order to get back that same Luna at $100. So the goal of the Infinity bot is no matter how high the price goes, it's always going to keep the original amount of Luna that you invested the same. So it's almost like a hodling position of your primary coin, but then it tries to play off the 1% volatility from now until forever, which actually does make a tremendous amount of sense, because really what you're doing when you're sort of hodling is you're basically giving away your time, which if you could basically make a higher yield with the time that you're leaving your coin in there, you would like to. Staking obviously makes some difference there as well. You know, but you're not going to get, like, I would say that you could make the same amount you would staking. You know, probably you'd make a whole year's worth of staking rewards within 1 month on Infinity bot is my guesstimation. So it's going to be way more, it's going to be way faster than staking as far as yield.
Yeah. I was looking over here just a few minutes ago at, you know, I guess like some of the rates. Because KuCoin, I guess it shows like how much people are making. It doesn't show like their strategies, obviously, but it shows, I think, like the record for the Luna bot, the KuCoin Infinity bot, was like 1,500%.
That's the APY, though. That's not their. That's not how much they made, like on their original position. That's the, like theoretical APY if you were to keep running it for a year, right? And,
yeah.
And you got the same yield the whole time. You know how those things are calculated.
Yeah, exactly. So I guess I kind of get it. And do you, in this case, are we putting in Luna into the bot, or, you know, investing with USDT?
The way that the one on KuCoin is designed is you put in however much USDT as you want, and then based on where you set your lower limit and what you sent your percentage increment, it just sort of like fills in the blanks. And I think it needs to keep enough money so that, okay. So let's say you started Luna at $100 worth of, let's say Luna's price $100 and you set your lower limit at, $90 Luna. Let's just take an example of how you set this up. If your lower limit's set at $90, it's got to basically keep the same amount of, you know, it's got to preserve your Luna count and your valuation of your Luna all the way down. So it's going to basically set aside enough Tether all the way down to $90 Luna to make sure that you're acquiring more. And then on the way up, it's going to be selling some of that and exiting it back to Tether. And I think the long-term goal of the Infinity Bot, the way it looks like it's designed, is it's meant to, by the time you get back to your, like, current, today's buy level of Luna, you should have the same amount of Luna you did before. But what it did was it sold off the stuff from the lower range to basically exit to Tether, right? So it's different from, like, just a dip buy, because if you were doing a dip buy strategy, it would keep the Luna as it went down, right? Whereas what it's doing here is it's selling it off to, the way I read the white paper or whatever the documentation on there, it looks like what it's going to do is it's going to keep your, assuming the price of Luna is at least where it is now or higher, it's going to have the exact same amount of Luna you started with at all times. That's its goal.
Okay, gotcha. So like worth of Tether though, right? Because we're going to be in Tether.
Yeah, it's going to, you park it and it buy, well, you're not in Tether entirely. It'll buy a portion as Luna, obviously. And then if you, the lower the limit, so let's say I set $1,000 buy on that bot. If I set a really low limit, way lower than my current value of Luna, because I'm bearish for some, whatever reason. So let's say Luna's $67 right now, and I put a lower limit of $30, it's going to have a lot more in Tether and very little Luna.
Yeah.
So I think it really depends on how risk averse you are and how little Luna you want to actually have. And what would happen if the price just skyrockets and flies away is it actually makes more sense to exit the bot at that point.
Yeah.
And redo it with a lower limit that's higher, you know, because
right.
Like otherwise your Tether is just sitting there doing nothing because you're never going to hit that low.
Yeah, that's true. And then in that case, when you're exiting the bot, because I haven't created one yet, are you exiting with Tether or are we withdrawing Luna?
That's a good question. I didn't actually exit one to check.
I'm gonna test it out later.
Yeah, we need to push the exit button to see what happens. Does it allow you to sort of like extract the Luna you have? I think it should, yeah, but
I don't have any funds on KuCoin right now. I need to deposit stuff in there.
Yeah, that's a good question. I haven't tested that exit to see what happens, but certainly would be worth figuring that out. Yeah.
Yeah, I know Crypto Suzanne is always talking about grid bots.
So I can answer the question about drawing on the KuCoin bots.
Uh-huh.
So when you exit your position on the KuCoin bots, it gives you the option to sell it all off of USDT or keep the same coins. So like if you have Luna USDT, you could withdraw as both.
Okay, cool.
You can use either or. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Let's see who's next. Maybe Size Lord, you want to throw some questions in there?
No. I just wanted to add to discussion when I don't know who was asking for. If you can use Tether or Lunar to exit, that you can exit both because I exited a bot already.
Does it allow you to take all of the funds you've gained in Tether and exit?
No. You cannot basically get off what you made, right? This is not possible yet, but this is a good idea. Maybe someone should push that to KuCoin to just get out the additional margin you are making, right? It's the same with a perpetual. If your perpetual runs like 300-500%, you can take out margin, which is not possible with a bot currently, right? You need to exit the bot and set up a new bot. But this would actually be very interesting to get out your profits.
Yeah, and the big so gate.io has the ability to use what's called a HODL mode. The problem is with Gate is that don't have the Infinity Bot type of strategy, which I think is actually more useful because like the GridBot problem is the upper bound, you know, on, like, I don't prefer to be in coins that I'm not bullish on, only because, well, I don't want to be in a bag holder in some worthless coin too. So the upper bound of a GridBot always seemed to be problematic for me, because here I am with coins I want to be bullish on anyway, and here I am, you know, worrying about setting an upper bound. And when you set an upper bound in a regular GridBot, the problem is that you basically are left with none of the original coin at the top. Whereas with this, you're actually keeping your original coin, but you're getting the arbitrage out. It would be nice if they would actually increase, like, so let's take, for example, the margin that you're, the arbitrage yield you're making on, in USDT. What would be even nicer is if they took that extra money and actually made the buys of your Luna bigger. So let's say it just repopulated the entire limit order set lower than your current price and basically bought you more Luna. That'd be nice. But that's not a thing on the current system as it is. There's a HODL mode on gate.io that does something like that, where it takes your arbitrage yield and it, like, buys you the coin that you care about, that you want to settle in. But it, the problem is there's no infinity bot there. So it sort of like has some of the features I want, but not all of them. So I think KuCoin's infinity bot makes more sense to me for the bullish position. Let me see if Matus wants to ask something here. Go ahead. Comments, questions?
Hey, CFI, thanks for hosting those spaces. I like your idea about buying more the more it goes down. And I thought about creating multiple infinity bots. So, for example, you open one between Luna 65 to bottom 40, and then you open another one in Luna, let's say, between 40 and 30, and you put more USDT in it, so it buys more with a smaller incremental. What do you think of that?
Besides creating like just a ton of transactions, which basically like get really, really wicked from a tax perspective, I suppose, if you care about that sort of thing. That's the only like downside to creating too many complexity to the strategy. You know, and really what you're saying is you're just sort of diversifying your different strategies just to kind of, you know, be benefiting either way, sort of. So like one, like a conservative strategy would be like, I put a lot more money in a relatively bearish setup. Whereas like, let's say Luna 67 now, maybe I set the bottom entry at $30. So almost all of it's in Tether. And I might do that because I don't really want to sacrifice money that, say, for example, I'm borrowing, or if I need to exit the position, I don't want to be selling for too much of a loss or something like that. So the more bearish or more conservative you are with the bot lower limit, that has everything to do with how quickly you would need access to that capital now versus later, in my view. And yeah, you could do multiple. It just creates a like an arbitrarily huge amount of transactions that, you know, whether you're going to be more successful doing that or not is probably debatable. you could also do, and unfortunately they don't have, like, well, fortunately or unfortunately, there's no prorata system in KuCoin like there is on Gate. A prorata makes it possible to get bigger buys on the way down, like in an automated fashion, where you could set like a 1% increase in buy size the lower it goes. So not only is it 1% increments, but 1% increase in the size of the allocation. That would be even more conservative in a sense. But like a simple thing to think about is this, like if I am comfortable, if I was going to buy, let's say Luna at $67 either way, like, and I was perfectly fine with that. The way to do this would almost be to set the bottom limit at the exact price that you buy it at. Cause if you go below the bot and you were going to hodl anyway, fine, whatever, big deal, right? If it goes really low and you were going to stake it or do something with it anyway, fine. If it starts to go up from your position, then you bought pretty much all Luna because it didn't save any money in Tether to buy lower, right? And you just get all of the 1% arbitrage opportunity on each grid from now until forever without having to worry about it. It sounds pretty appealing to me. if you look at just simply buying Luna and leaving it there versus running at 1% with a limit at the price that you bought it at, like, they're pretty close in terms of opportunity, I would say. The only thing you would lose maybe is if you're below the grid bot range for any sort of exhaustive period of time, you'd be losing that like 10% APY staking yield, right? And that's of course over a full year. So over a course of 1 month, that's not even a 1% yield on that position that you're sacrificing. So anyway, that's my theory there. Anybody on stage here that has any other kind of setup or theory questions on how this works? There's a little bit of a video and little infographics. If you go to KuCoin's page on this, you hit the trading bot button and it shows you sort of what it does. And it's pretty straightforward in terms of the methodology. There's not really any risk to the methodology in my view. It's pretty straightforward. It actually is pretty hard to lose money on something like this because KuCoin actually, any fees on the transactions have already been taken out when you do the increment. Like, for example, the 1% increment, it's making sure that you're netting 1% minus whatever fees it would have had in the background to accomplish that trade for you. So it's pretty reasonable in terms of how to calculate what your output actually is. Anybody else that's kind of played with these or had some experience with this one? This one's pretty new. So I imagine the number of people that have run this for any significant period of time is low unless you've run this something like this on an external platform at some point. If no other questions, we can feel free to ask anything about Luna or whatever for a little bit. Hopefully everyone's surviving the little, altcoin crush that we've had. There's been quite a few altcoins that have been just torn to shreds. So when people ask about, bear markets and such, I mean, if you look at Atom, that's gone from like $45 down to like $20. This is what I'm saying about the ability to predict so-called bear markets and drawdowns. Do I know whether Atom, for example, is going to recover back to $45 in a timely manner? I have no idea. That could be a year from now or whatever. So, as per usual, on any of these high base yield coins like Atom and Polkadot, I tend to get some of those. The lower they go, the happier I'm getting more of them because then my yield is paid in kind, which can be a good thing if you're getting these at substantial discounts and sort of dollar cost averaging in at those lower prices. I was mentioning that, like with Luna X, I find it interesting because technically Luna's percentage yield per coin is technically higher because a lot of it's paid in UST. And it's technically higher right now if the price of Luna is lower relative to the price of Luna because the UST output is relatively fixed. And what happens with Luna X is you're basically dollar cost averaging back your UST that you're gaining on your yields every day or whatever, and it's going to go by Luna. So actually that makes sense as Luna's price drops, especially because that's when you get the most Luna purchasing power within the auto compounder. And so if you like Luna X, that is an additional sort of consideration. It's going to be better in a bearish condition for Luna over the next couple of years. So if you happen to run low for whatever reason, which I don't think we will, but let's say you did, the Luna X does make some sense. On top of the fact that the other day I got converted some Luna to Luna X and I got like a 2.5% discount. So I got extra Luna X out of it, which is nice. So I got more Luna and that's auto compounding. Why not? Right. It seems to make sense. Phil, go ahead. What's up?
Give me a second. All right.
Sure.
It might be a minute.
Phil's always got the like. Phil, you have always the most like echoey mic slash room on the. Like,
I'm
really always.
I'm taking a chair right now. Sorry.
Anybody else want to hop on? Go right ahead. Chat about whatever. I'm sort of like chewing on lunch right here. So if you hear me chewing, that's what that is. It's like a tater tot from Sonic. eating my junk food here for a little bit.
All right, there we go. They let me out of the cell.
Go ahead.
I was just going to get some Sonic, actually. It's funny you say that.
Any comments about any of the discussion?
So we were talking the other day, and it kind of sounded like the consensus was that Gate was preferable for this, but now it sounds like maybe KuCoin flipped the script.
Yeah, I think this Infinity Bot looks more compelling to me based on how I usually would use these things. So it looked really like philosophically it works better for me. I just don't. Because in one way, like if the price of something is dropping a lot, like that's almost the time that you buy to HODL in a sense, because that's your greatest upsides off the bottom in crypto, right? I've mentioned this so many times. That's when I buy a lot more. But, you know, and then it's almost like a liquidity provider position. If you have a really high expected upside, then you essentially suffer from what, you know, conceivably feels like more of an impermanent loss problem.
Yeah, like an opportunity cost thing.
Exactly. So it's like you're quashing some volatility. And if you just simply want a position that doesn't like suffer as much going down and doesn't suffer as much going up, that's sort of what a grid bot is for. If you're playing in more coins you're super bullish on, the Infinity Bot is, I think, by its very nature, a bullish position where you really want that coin and you want to hold it.
Yeah, I mean, I always joke about how like I think of things in like graphs of limits, you know, and like Luna's price prediction is just infinity. It's really simple.
Yeah, and then, you know, the alpha that we've been hearing all week long from SJ and others is like kind of holy shit level. Like,
it just gets worse and worse. I'm like, dude, you'll never believe it. There's another catalyst.
Right, exactly. It's just hard to even like do a discussion without, it's hard to even pitch this without saying, yeah, there's just a whole bunch of good shit coming.
Yeah, it's kind of like you guys could like spread it out because like we're like blowing our whole wad, but then you like read further and you're like, no, we're not.
Yeah, so the big things, some of the news that was out for like Solana was, as an example, was like I think Michael Jordan was going to do some kind of sports NFT, something or another on there, which of course, you know, if Michael Jordan speaks, it's like, you know, he's pretty successful in most
things. Yeah, he'll probably make an NFT shoe series or something.
Yeah, they're gonna make a lot of money, whatever they're doing. You know that for sure. And you know you're going to get a lot of, like, just general public subscribers to those kind of activities.
Fundamentals.
Yeah, just from the sheer, you know, it's sort of like what Voyager and Crypto.com have been doing, heavily advertising at sports events.
Yeah.
And I think the concept is to get as many like crypto normies as possible into the scheme.
Yeah, I like that concept, and I think they're important for that. But like I worry about their permanent position in the market because I don't see like a long term purpose for them.
What you mean the NFTs and such?
Like the marketing, like the massive amount of money going into marketing to like onboard, like, you know what I mean? Like at some point when mass adoption hits, like you become irrelevant. If your whole goal, like crypto.com is like, you're probably not like a preferable platform, but you're going to market so heavily that like, you're going to keep getting used because you're just bringing people in.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people just like a simple to use experience. They're not like DeFi degens and whatnot. And then some of the products that in the future, these platforms are going to be developing are all sorts of liquid staking opportunities such that, you know, you're going to be able to bring in sort of DeFi primitives that are really successful.
Yeah, that'll be good.
Platforms. Yeah. So that's, I think, where that goes ultimately. So we've got,
yeah, if they do DeFi, that's probably a valid point. Like, if, like, I know there's like a DeFi wallet on, like, that's how I, in fact, this is a good point. That's how I started, was like the DeFi wallet on crypto.com, because it was there. And it was like as soon as I looked further, it was like, oh, I'm getting duped right now. But it is what onboarded me to DeFi technically.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people after a certain age, they're not going to move like $1 million of their retirement account onto sort of some decentralized thing. If they don't know shit about crypto, they're going to want a like high quality central custody solution generally. But anyway, yeah. my point is the if you look at what's happening on Solana as a comparison, there's a fair amount of pop culture, you know, with the Bored Apes and everything else happening there, which is a slightly different route. Whereas, you know, a lot of the stuff happening on Terra is basically just right now more heavyweight type stuff, like
infrastructure,
like Andromeda, like, yeah, like replacing TradFi, you know, infrastructure and various forms of like legal systems and other things. And then when SJ was talking this week and tweeting about like, the introduction of essentially a Forex type situation.
Yeah, I saw that.
Which essentially means you take your stable coins and you create, you know, between oracles and pairs, you create an entire like huge like trading volume of that going on, which that will help us.
Like, man, that is really asking for regulatory pressure. Not that I disagree with it. Like, that's awesome. But like if anything is going to bring the heat, that's what it's going to be.
But there's nothing that can be done about it, really. Like regulate who and
I would
what.
Assume so if they're doing that, because like,
yeah,
damn.
The point is like, once, like right now they can't do anything about it. Like, if people want to trade from, you know, like, you know, the Thai coin to like the US dollar coin, you know, there's nobody's gonna really do anything about it. But what a Forex system essentially does is it would create an additional pegging mechanism and a lot of transactional sort of escalate the transactional volume, which then helps with staking. It'll help with the amount of yields you get as a staker, technically speaking. Okay. And what, when you have a sufficiently robust stablecoin, you know, on-chain arbitrage system, is you wind up having a system where you can then legitimately onboard, like, you know, companies can, like in India or in, you know, well, anywhere that a stablecoin is offered, if they want to build a, like, not just neobanks, but other things like business infrastructure, where, you know, like, for example, let's say you're in India and you have a business and your customers basically run on the Indian rupee for the most part, but the business doesn't really want to hold the Indian rupee as its primary holding. Like, why the hell would it want to necessarily have a worse inflationary coin than, say, for example, you know, USD, UST exposure, right? So what'll happen is you can, then those businesses have an option where they can put their treasury in whatever the hell they want, and maybe even earn yield on it if they choose to do so, like with Anchor. But even if, assuming Anchor wasn't even there, like, you still get a benefit to lots of businesses by being able to hold UST versus 10%
or whatever, or the 20%. I mean, the earn is like ridiculous.
Well, there's that, but let's assume it wasn't that high in the future, or let's assume it didn't even exist. Would this still be a valid thing you'd want?
Right.
So in the US, if you already sort of work with the dollar, or if you're in the euro zone and you work with euro, those are relatively stable with sort of like inflation that typically is not as high as some of the smaller countries and such. So if I was in Argentina, for example, you know, and I'm running a business, and if I could reasonably convert back and forth substantial amounts of money too, not like if I've got to move around, you know, if I need $1 billion worth of UST, and I'm converting that amount worth of, you know, Argentinian peso or whatever they have there, then I've got to have a sufficiently large, robust money market so that I don't suffer from slippage concerns and whatnot. So it does take quite a bit of time to build that up.
Right.
But the business use case for like a more robust liquidity in our stablecoin systems globally would be really big. And
Yeah. So I think that's SJ's project or their project in the background is building this thing.
Well, and that on a fundamental level, like I now, like, of course, like I see the light already because like that's strengthening the dollar like we're already working towards. And like, they're not going to want to, like, why would they want to regulate like this like massive infrastructure that's actually like strengthening the currency that they support, you know?
It's not even a question of regulating it. Like there's nothing anyone can do about it.
Right.
I keep saying this, like, who, like, they're going to do what exactly? They're going to make.
Well, I don't mean that there's like a scare of that, but I just don't want resistance from the US government, like in the path more than necessary. Obviously, like there's going to be friction, but like, of course, like stablecoins and regulation, like, is one of the hurdles, like in the future for like mass adoption. Like you're talking about like people putting their retirement funds and stuff into it. Like, they're not going to do that, but like the U.S. sanctions it, you know?
Yeah, pretty much the first mover in the West was, I think, Coinbase with WUST, Wrapped UST. And I think if they have native UST, I think you'll start seeing it ultimately on other platforms and such.
That would be really nice.
Ideal thing is, like, you get so many people using it so quickly globally that it overwhelms the ability of, you know, agencies to sort of keep up, right? It's almost like the expansion of all the different shit you could do with a smartphone.
Yeah. Well, also you can make it good for business reach. You know, like that's like what I hope is, like, they see that like Bitcoin is good for business and like UST is good for business, even if you're in the dollar and you're like the US government. So like, ideally that's it for me, that's end game, is if they're like, oh, holy shit, this is like extremely useful and frictionless, and they actually like support it instead of working against it.
Yeah, I don't know that they're going to really support anything specifically. Like, I just think that it's just a question of whether they stay out of the way or they start, you know, adding.
Yeah, I guess by support, I mean, don't bother us.
Yeah, because there is always a concern, because, like, if you look what happened to XRP, you know, because it was deemed a security and such, you know, and Canadian regulators more or less said the same thing. Then you saw Canadian exchanges drop it more recently. And then US exchanges, I still don't think you can get XRP traded on Coinbase or Voyager right now. Well, Voyager maybe.
Most of them can't. I don't think crypto.com does either. Gate does because they do everything.
Yeah. XRP is a different story, though. XRP is not just sort of like an arbitrary, like, oh, the SEC did this or that. Like, legitimately, if you have any brain, like, it very much is a security. And
they sold $40 billion. Like,
it's a shit tokenomics that nobody should be in, right? Like, so
yeah,
it's not even like to say that it's a consumer friendly coin. The only people saying this are, like, you know, you hear no language of tokenomics in an XRP.
They're just the holders that are like, please, it's a consumer friendly coin. Can I sell it?
Yeah, it's gonna take over all of banking, please. So yeah, you'll see those examples, but from the perspective of UST. I think it's more, you know, even if you can get to UST, even on DEXs, it may not matter if the centralized exchanges hold it heavily. As long as there are sufficient use cases, you'll see people using it more and more, even to just hold it for either for yield or otherwise. And right. The more exchanges that have like bot trading on it, Binance, KuCoin, Gate.
Well, you mentioned Gate has that now, right? Was that the one you said?
Yeah, Gate has UST trading pairs. I haven't tested it again to see if you can actually run a bot using UST, which would be helpful.
Yeah, KuCoin has liquidity issues. Like the new, of course, like the newer places, it's popping up. Like on Curve, I hear it's happening. Like it's not UST's fault, but there's not near the depth of liquidity that we need yet in all these places.
Yeah, in KuCoin they have USDT USDC bot. You can use those two as a trading pair, and it allows you to do a fairly limited amount of setup on it, unfortunately. So you can't get down to the small decimal range really well on the grid bot there. But it should be for some pretty easy free money, though, if anyone's
interested. Yeah, that sounded cool. I need to look into that.
It's pretty easy. Like, it only gives you like a 0.37% increment. I forget what the increment was, but I looked at the volatility of how unstable the so-called stable coins are.
They really are.
And they are pretty unstable. Like, they go off peg by 1% periodically. Fairly often. It's kind of a pain in the ass, because sometimes you're just trying to like convert over to UST when you're like sending from somewhere.
Oh, it's a huge pain in the ass.
And sometimes you just lose some of your money because you're like, shit, like if I trade to UST now, I'm losing, like, you know,
Whenever I bridge to 1%. Harmony, there's usually like about, yeah, like 1%, because like you bridge UST to Harmony, but then most things are still, there's not the liquidity of UST like on SushiSwap, so you pretty much have to convert back or convert over. So every time you bridge to Harmony, you're basically like getting hit with that. It's really annoying.
Yeah, the 1%, it only allows you to a 4-grid range, which is really funny. Because it just KuCoin's math, like the programming infrastructure on there, doesn't go to tiny decimal points for some reason.
Wow.
But it does. You can set it up with that least amount. Like you could do one on there for like USDT, USDC, and you set it up to like 0.99 to 1.01, and then it only allows you to do 4-grid ranges. And you think, well, you know, is it really going to hit this? Because a lot of times it's pretty. The stable coins are fairly stable.
I don't know. I stay out and they hit that all the time. That sounds awesome.
But the way that I looked at the graph for the pair, it looks like it goes off, these go off peg from each other, USDC, USDT. They go off peg from each other like maybe like a dozen times every month. So you're probably making like a, you know, like let's say you're making 0.5% a dozen times, you know, and you, you know, and that's per month. So you might be making like a, let's say you made a 6% yield per month. It's still pretty good for basically no risk.
Have you seen the spell AMA that talks about UST? It was a few weeks ago. It was like Daniele on Frog Radio. It's got a lot of good information if you haven't.
What did they say, more or less?
They were, well, what relates to this that I'm thinking of is they were talking about the MIM UST pairing and how, like, it's actually, like, pretty cool. I didn't understand this about, like, the synergy there. Because MIM unpegs to the upside and UST unpegs to the downside in general and in like differing situations. So they actually like, they're like a very strong synergy together. But it also, for this, it makes me think like they unpeg in different directions, like by nature. So that would be a pretty logical time to use this.
Yeah. And I don't think they don't have MIM on KuCoin as a trading pair, I don't believe. It would be nice if you could get the MUST
like an on-chain bot. I think like you'd have to hit on chain to do this.
yeah it'd be an on-chain bot with between the two would be pretty neat, but we just haven't seen, like, have you guys seen on any other chain, like either Solana or have you guys seen on like Ethereum, has anyone actually put any like grid options on chain that you're aware of to be able to play that arbitrage?
My friend who's not a developer started, like, he's a smart guy and he's got like basic coding knowledge, and he started to like he wanted to do like an arb bot for on chain and he pretty much like, he was like, dude, this is way the fuck over my head. So that's all I know.
I think the 1%, the infinity bot looks really doable compared to the complexity of some of the other strategies. I think the 1%, the infinity bot could be copied on using like a Rust programming language, and then you know outputting the yield, and maybe the person who creates the protocol collects the fee instead of KuCoin. That'd be amazing.
Like I'm gonna have to do this because no one else is going to, but I have to learn Rust first.
Yeah, this would really be amazing, I think. And it should not be too complicated of a math to do this, especially if you're, let's say, offering you're not offering a lot of like, you know, automated settings. You're just simply like giving the base options as far as like, well, I mean, exactly the same
way. And maybe start with a basic pair, just like MIMUST bot, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. Like give just people the option to arb that as a thing and then they stop. Yeah, exactly. That would be a really easy one to theoretically.
Maybe White Whale is doing this. That's possible.
Yeah. But White Whale, the way they're describing it, they're relying on these primitives to show up first. And then, and then do it from there. Now, keep in mind, just because something is arbed back to peg on chain doesn't mean you're necessarily getting all the arb opportunities off chain, right?
Right. So, yeah, like, the real holy grail, I guess, would be both, like a bot that could go, you know, across off and on chain.
Yeah, or between exchanges. That's what market makers do. That's what, like, when we were talking about OKCoin yesterday, I think the conversation, you know, the question I asked was, you know, how are they keeping peg for UST and other stable coins? And a lot of that's done by, like, apparently
more the pro market makers, which are large organizations who are trading the ARB on different coins across
like Curve and Yarn and stuff.
No, more like just massive organizations like that will play like, let's say, for example, you know, Luna's off by a nickel between here and there, and they see an ARB opportunity because between fees and this and that, it works out that it's profitable to instantaneously buy here while instantaneously selling on another location. Sure. What they'll do is they'll have money on all these exchanges.
Okay.
So what'll happen is it's not like they're literally moving a coin.
They don't even have to move it, right?
Yeah, they don't even have to move the coin. All they have to do is they just simply have to, if like Luna's slight, like a nickel cheaper over on Coinbase and it's a nickel more expensive somewhere else, they'll just simply execute a buy over here, sell over there, and call it a day.
Yeah, I guess I've done that actually between Terra and Harmony a lot, like just with small amounts because I have money on both.
Yeah, I mean, it's like it makes sense to do this with large quantities of money across lots of exchanges. I don't know how useful it is for the average individual to be screwing around with that sort of thing.
You're going to save a lot of money, though, if you don't have to move it with the exchanges, because they just, like, I assume these guys are not paying the same, but they just destroy you if you want to move in and out.
Right, and you don't know if the market makers are getting preferable fees, too, on those exchanges. Because if, like, OKCoin described it, they have arrangements with specific market makers, and there's almost no question that they're getting a nicer deal than you and me are trading. I would bet. So, little man, go ahead. Let me get one of the guys on here. Yeah, little man, you there? Or JC?
Yeah, I'm here. What's up, you guys? I mean, it's a lot of information the last few days. Actually, it's crazy. And I was kind of along on a general terms along the lines of adoption and the play that or the role that crypto.com and all that massive advertising, what I see this going or the value that it bring into the ecosystem. I think sometimes when you go into degen strategies and stuff like that, and we're thinking, okay, how early are we in this adoption? I think we gotta remember that the ecosystem that we're going to produce and the level of opportunities that are going to be available for everybody, only a very small percentage of people are really going to have the amount of time and understanding to actually or the courage to leave the existing structure to dig really deep into the technologies and the opportunities that are available, because it's very time consuming and the level of uncertainty, it's different than norm. And so I think hopefully the way that people are onboarding now with all the marketing and the level of expectations, like what everybody would be super happy coming out of like a savings account in a bank. And instead of getting like 1.5 or 2%, if they can get even 10%, they're already happy, because that's impossible in a bank. So,
right.
I think, yeah. And I think the question is on a personal level, how you approach this thing, but understanding that the level of adoption this is not going into everybody degening and maximizing the level of, percentage you can increase your bags. You know what I mean? It's not gonna be like that. It's like everybody having an iPhone and knowing how to use all the features. Most of the people that have an iPhone, they don't even use like 10% of the features that are. And yet, you are gonna go and buy the next iPhone that has a lot more features, but you're still gonna use 10%. It doesn't fucking matter if you have a camera or three cameras.
We probably use like on an iPhone, most of us probably use like 0.1% of the fucking thing. Seriously.
Yeah, exactly. But as an adoption, because there is a correlation of like adoption curves into all the technologies, and this is a major shift in the way that we do things. And thinking of what does it take to even play around with the ideas of like the spaces that you guys are running, dude. That this is like a fucking full time job, dude. Like not only like just
have
the time. You know what I mean? Just to listen to it, but like, it's super overwhelming. And I'm in a particular situation where I kind of like, I finished a master's degree. I have a little understanding of technology. And yet, dude, like, this is way too much. You know what I mean? So I think there is something to be said to understanding what is this really going to look like on an adoption level, and not assuming that we're trying to reach the full potential of how everybody's going to adopt this technology. This is going to be a group of people really maximizing this opportunity. And most of the people there, they're going to be sheep in a little better field. It's just going to be like that, you know? Like,
yeah, vast majority of people are not going to be able to capitalize DeFi any more than they capitalize on traditional finance.
Yeah.
In this, like, I'll give you a perfect example. Just imagine for just a second, if you have a simple way to capitalize on the, like, a grid bot on, say, for example, Apple stock, right? Yeah. Like, or Infinity bot, perfect example, what we just talked about, but with Apple stock instead, with maybe M Apple. Like, talk about a relatively risk-free way to essentially make a shit ton of money doing absolutely nothing. And this is what traditional finance bots are doing 24/7, you know, at Goldman and other places, where what they do is, you know, I know a lot of people that, you know, get out of school and go to these places. And what happens is what they're looking for is they go to the various, like, U.S. Ivy League institutions and whatnot and similar things. Like, they'll go to Cornell and they'll go to they'll go to Vanderbilt and other places where people seem to have a reasonably high IQ, and they really don't even need people that know a whole lot of shit about anything except that they're sufficiently IQ smart enough. And what they end up doing is they deploy those people as either analysts in their various fields. So, for example, if you're in petrochemicals, they'll deploy them to analyze. Deploy them to look at petrochemical industry. Or they'll use them for the math that we're talking about here when it comes to, say, algorithmic infrastructure and this and that. And ultimately, they just, you know, pay a bunch of reasonably smart people to sit there and make a bunch of money for them. And the funny thing is, similarly to how, you know, programmers might build a, you know, $10 billion platform, but be getting paid like, you know, let's say $200,000 a year. You know, similarly, what ends up happening in those fields is they want all the smart people to come work for them, to essentially work for pennies, where they could actually be doing much better, like, on their own. So even among the traditional finance, the centralized organizations that have the infrastructure and the capital are really sort of raking it in. And even if you were to go into business today and, like, you're like, hey, you know what, I have enough understanding about how these bots work or whatever, and I want to start like a like an institution type of thing, then the problem is by the time you get enough capital, you're getting from venture capital and whatnot, I mean, they're probably taking at least 50% of the cut right off the bat, and almost all of the intellectual activity and the physical activity you have to exert is all you. So it makes sense for you to be a VC, and if you have a lot of money, but it doesn't necessarily make sense to take money from a VC if you have a lot of money. So I think these kinds of strategies that have very high yield, and if you plan them out over a period of like 5-10 years, you actually outperform what hedge funds and this and that do, and you can actually do so with relatively low amounts of capital. And you know, so my theory is that, you know, someone who gets onto Coinbase, notice how poor the infrastructure there is on Coinbase to do anything interesting. Whereas if you go to KuCoin or Gate, you know, they have all these interesting opportunities. But the reason why they don't add those things to Coinbase is they think the Western user is a math poor idiot, which probably is the case in a lot of examples. And they're not really offering a lot of these products right on their site like other places are. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, that's okay though, because like I guess my story is relevant to this, and this is my counterpoint. I agree with it's not going to hit some mainstream adoption where every person is using crypto, but I think that from that viewpoint that was described, you're underestimating what's going on with the millennial generation right now, which is like like, I'm going to sound like Rod Paul, but this is the financialization of an entire generation that was not taught this shit. Like 2 years ago, I did not know what a stock option was. I didn't know, like my parents don't know what stocks are in their portfolios. So you have like a massive amount of people right now that are really hungry and eager to like get somewhere and catch up. And the information is all of a sudden there, and it's going to happen quick.
Yeah, I don't know. There is a democratization through, say, for example, you know, YouTube and this and that, but there's also a lot of noise too. The average person has to filter through a shit ton of garbage to get to any kind of real serious alpha. That's another problem. Like great example, go type KuCoin Infinity Bot on YouTube and figure out what kind of garbage you find on there. Nothing really useful, not really.
Right. But I guess to further the point though, like this is happening by necessity for people like me. So like I'm learning this and I'm excelling at it because like my life got totally fucked and like everything went to dust when the shutdown happened for a lot of people. So like this isn't a choice and it's not for fun. Like I quit the system because I saw that it wasn't working, and I don't know where this is going, but like I know this does work, and like people like me are not going to give up, and it's going to be a lot more people that see this opportunity.
Yeah, you're basically going to be in that kind of time in the market scenario where instead of timing the market, you're just going to be participating more, and you'll find your opportunities as you go.
I'm totally taking a leap of faith, to be honest, but I think that's a strong sentiment when people like me that are rational and intelligent are willing to do that because the system is that broken.
Yeah.
I was looking at the way that you know, like when the cell phone companies started rolling out at the beginning, you had to pay the minutes, right? And then the competition, like you don't know what kind of technology and the cost of, you know, the service offers really was. Like you had to really do your research to really know how much they're screwing you in, or if they're giving you the best deal that they could give you, or they're giving you the best deal that they need to give you for you to go with that company, right? So at the beginning, you would have 500 minutes for this amount of money. So then the other company came with 550, and the other one you accumulate for the next month. The other one you don't accumulate, but you have a lot more minutes in this month. And now it's like normal that you would have like, you know, unlimited amount of minutes. And
technology brings the cost of everything down.
Yeah, for sure. But my point is like the speed of the opportunity that technology is offering, that to maximize that thing, you have to be keeping up with the technology, right? So
that's fair, yeah.
The company is not going to give you the best that they can. Like they're whatever savings they got, it goes to them, right? So when you're thinking about like, okay, with the amount of money that is going into crypto.com for marketing and the amount of money that is going from crypto.com into education towards people onboarding, there's no, like, it's fucked up, right? So
yeah, what happens is onboarding.
Huh? Well, I mean, so the thing is like the people that the amount of volatility for the people that are coming into the market or that are using leverage or they're making poor decisions. I mean, there's not really a big deal for whoever is making money out of that, right? So eventually it's going to get to a point that the system is going to adjust and people are going to be normally more educated because of the amount of time that they were exposed to it. But nobody's trying to accelerate the quality of the people interacting with the system. Like, it's just like, okay, well, let's keep moving forward. Whoever gets it is going to make more money. Whoever doesn't get it, we're going to get more money out of them.
Exactly. Right? Like he's out to educate the innocent. Like
exactly. Well, but that's my point. So on that one, you gotta think. Okay, hopefully for me personally, what I would see that will make this thing that also would give me a little more peace of mind is a little less volatility. Maybe you have less margin, right? But you don't have these up and downs and this like you freaking out about the loans can be a little more stable and your collateral could be a little more reliable because you cannot lose 30% on one day on your collateral, you know.
Well, so what you're asking for is basically more types of price exposure on chain is what you're really saying. Because like some people do want the ultra volatile and that actually that's helpful. And exactly. Some people want the ultra stable and that's helpful. And then people want things in between. And so the more types of assets you have simultaneously in the same place, the better off you're going to be. Like a good example is what like Robinhood has or what Voyager has or is going to have, which is on-chain, not on-chain, but like fractional stock trading. And the reason why fractional or fractional stock trading is helpful is because right now, like if you want to go onto a traditional brokerage and get one share of Apple stock, you may be paying $170. The problem is a small investor might have sold $130 of some other shit and like they just want to get access to that Apple stock dip or whatever. And what ends up happening is they don't have the ability to do so on a small scale. So what the fractional stocks do is it really improves your dip buying opportunities, especially if you have like some decorrelated price action between a couple of things. You could basically get like, let's say, for example, Bitcoin pumps 20% and for some reason Apple stock falls 10%. So now you have this sort of like 30% delta between the two. I could sell one and, you know, swap over to Apple stock as an example. So the ability to access both high volatility and relative stability and sort of like known quantities, you know, like a blue chip tech stock can be very helpful in this process. And what's missing in my view to the retail customer is the access to even more volatility killers like this KuCoin Infinity bot. If you could run it on Apple stock or something like that, that would be amazing, right? Like you could literally just watch your money go up forever and not have to do a goddamn thing. That's exactly what would happen. Because, you know, intraday volatility on Apple stock probably is easily 1%. So you could probably, or let's say if it's even 0.5%, who gives a shit? Bottom line is you could make 0.5% extra every time Apple stock goes up and down in an intraday. And it makes holding Apple stock even better than just say, for example, the dividend yield, right? And in that case, let's say you could earn the dividend yield too on this on the shares that are doing nothing. And then your shares are just sort of like you're keeping your shares, but you're then getting some of the volatility cash pulling out of that system. I think that's pretty amazing in terms of just overall opportunity, and definitely higher than staking yield and definitely higher than dividend yield, but not as complicated as sort of being a technical trader sitting there watching charts and doing all that bullshit and figuring out like, you know, supports and resistances and then hoping that, you know, you're buying at the right time and whatnot. You really want systems that allow you to just sort of like set and forget and really take all the emotion out of it. And they may not be as perfect as had you timed the market perfectly, but like who does that consistently? Not very many people. So if you go to like quantitative analysis chats, like the other day someone was having, and you hear how these people talk, they've already conceded that doing like chart trading and whatnot is basically astrology. And they need a more consistent way to make a buck than arbitrarily trading supports and resistances, because a lot of things will go past resistance and a lot of things will drop below support. So you're never going to optimize your buys and sells perfectly anyway. And the idea is to have automated ways to extract that volatility, like you said. And what actually happens, the more people that participate in those type of systems, the less volatility, the less volatile something becomes. So to your point, little man, like the reason why we have so much volatility is because there's not as much participation, not as much liquidity. You tend to smooth things out as more people get in the market, which, you know, incidentally also makes the price go up over the longer term either way. But anyway, yeah, hopefully that was kind of helpful dialogue. I've got to do some work here, but I was going to be back on here in a little bit. In about an hour, we're going to do our discussion with Tundra of Nexus Protocol. And I wanted to kind of go over some of like what they're doing with their the new treasury project, the how that is going to be helping Nexus versus other protocols, and a variety of other subjects as far as like what kind of new things are coming to Nexus. I think there's a Delta neutral mirror strategy and some other things that they're developing, because obviously when the token price goes down and, you know, it's like everyone's upset
and down.
Right. And then it's got a lot of inflationary rewards, so it is what it is. But you know,
getting some more information from the actual protocol, understanding what the fundamentals are going to be and how they're going to perhaps get more use cases for their, is there going to be utility for their coin, or like, what is their conceptual strategy is what we're going to go over a little bit. I'd like to pick his brain a little bit about some theoretical things that they could build for us as well. And find out maybe if he's aware of some of the different options that could be created on their platform. Let me add.
That's in like an hour.
Yeah, at about an hour. Yeah, about. Sweet. So JC, any comments real quick? I had you on there. You dropped off a second ago. We'll make JC the last question here and then we'll break for that.
Yeah, sorry. I'm just driving. I was just going to say, is there a place you would go to? So I got into Luna and the sort of first sort of person I'd sort of run into was Banku. Is there an equivalent for sort of the box type of investing around that you would recommend?
I haven't come upon something really great. I've seen some various sort of some YouTube videos here and there that are sort of so-so. What they don't get into is like optimizing the different ranges for, you know, on these bots in terms of setup. I think you sort of start getting a feel for them once you start gaming out a few in your head. Like you pick some ranges, you look at some percentages, and you start getting a sense for it, but you really don't really fully get it until you set something up and run it, and then you sort of see how it performs and you start understanding the dynamics and the mechanics of it. So if anything, what I'd do is if people are interested, you like throw a little bit at it just so you understand what it does, what kind of yield it creates, so you can compare that to other things that you could have done otherwise. And I don't think anything – and the problem with a lot of the videos that are out there right now, they don't really go and show you the long-term outcome of some of their strategies and what they did. A lot of them are referral links, which means, you know, like on KuCoin and Gate, you get like some, you know, you get some referral points and shit for like referring people to those platforms. So they'll make some like shitty little video and, you know, say, hey, use my referral link, and then you'll use it, and they'll, you know, you two will both make some like commission. But the videos are not like, you know, super high quality.
If anyone's out there, sounds like there's an opportunity for somebody.
You could get into digging into like volatility trading and like these kinds of things. I don't dig too deep into it. I think a lot of that gets into you could get fairly mathematical about how complicated you want to make this. I have largely been trying to highlight methods that I think are sort of sane and reasonably simple for people to use. Like this Infinity bot looks really, really straightforward to me. I don't think it requires a lot of like research and like mathematical understanding to make it work. I think all you have to do is like, you know, pick how reasonably bearish you are in the bottom range of a coin. And you could probably arbitrarily look at a chart and get some feeling for like where buyers appear to be on supports, yeah. And then just sort of pick a bottom range and call it a day. So I try to focus on what I could understand easily, what can be described easily. Like if I have to get into a whole lot of math, you know, and I can't describe it on a Twitter Spaces, then it's probably too fucking complicated for YouTube for most users too. Like, you know, sure, you start getting into sort of all sorts of mathematical equations.
I'm not looking to get into any complicated math. That's sure.
Exactly. People just want to push a button and try to figure out how to make their money go up, ideally. I think focusing on the few things that work really well and understanding the pros and cons of them are probably good enough for most people, I would say. Because your options right now in crypto are what? You can buy something and hold it. You can buy something and stake it, which, you know, has some kind of percentage yield per, you know, over the year. You can, trade something. So buy something, presumably sell it when it's up and buy it when it's low at some, you know, increments. And some people, you know, they're happy if they make 5% on something, they're like, fuck it, I'm out. You know, that's up to them. You know, you got all types of people when it comes to trading and whatnot. There'll be people that'll throw, they're like, okay, I need to make 50K
you know, I'm going to buy, you know, I'm going to throw $1 million or something on a massive dip. And then if it goes up 5%, I'm out of here, you know, or whatever, 10%. Yeah. So, you know, these kinds of traders, so there's all sorts of different people in the market. And depending on what you're trying to do and how much money you're trying to make over how much time, all that matters. And
if anyone out there's got any good links, you know, spread them around a bit and, you know.
Certainly. Post them to this Spaces link maybe, and I can watch those and then like maybe provide some retweets and then like some analysis of those if they make any sense. But I haven't seen too many on my superficial search that I was very excited about as far as like I still have is if people have used the KuCoin bots, because I use more Gates bots, but I don't know what KuCoin's bots do as far as like, are all those trades going to be output individually, or is the input and output of the bot going to be one financial transaction from the perspective of output to Coinly for taxation? And I haven't seen it, like I haven't seen the CSV file out of one of these bots to tell you one way or the other.
Yeah. So if someone I'm in the UK, so I've got no idea why it works in the UK. But anyway, I'll get to that later.
But you get, you see my point though. What is it? How many different trades is it showing on a piece of paper? Because you know, depending on how much you want to pay for a subscription tax service, having a trillion transactions may just cost you a lot in freaking tax reporting, right? Like more than you're investing, which would be weird if it's you're a small time. If you're a small time user, you don't want to have like a trillion transactions in there. You want them to be rational. So anyway,
thanks very much. And I look forward to more astrological charts from you on Twitter.
A little bit of astrology is good. Yeah.
Yeah. So, thanks very much.
Yeah, cool. All right, guys. We'll catch up a little bit later. In about 50 minutes. All right. See you.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. This was a CeFi Space chatting about the KuCoin Infinity Bot. Recorded on Friday, December 17th, 2021. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. Sipping on a little bit of sin I've been giving. Try to keep it written down so it feels like I've been living. I've been realizing a minute reality ain't got limits. Going out my fucking mind, testing out the physics, stretching out the distance. For instance, let me be specific. The risk is hedge funding the business, betting on the difference, ingesting all the research, sleeping through the rebirth, sliding out feet first. Sleep tight, little dreamer. Early to bed, early to rise with a rugged ass demeanor. Taking beats to the cleaners. You know I love my t-shirts and the people who support my little dream here. Transparent cows, I gotta steer clear. 2020 going down is one fucking weird year. Take a second look around, the psyops is winning. Set the table, we just biopsy dinner.
Now I'm gonna react to that and act like I'm telling you a personal anecdote. Something to break the tension, something to endear myself a little bit, something kind of embarrassing. And you guys are gonna make an awe sound. It's true. It really happened.
They got a tracker in the phone, tracking everywhere we go. When it's fine if I don't know, I already sold my soul. Getting ready, rock and roll, tip the first domino. Feeling abominable with these avalanche flows. Stop and rest on the road, gotta get where I'm going. And the rest of y'all know that we hit the ground sore. And I'll be coming for the fuckers that be summoning the trouble. Running on the double while I'm handing out the W's. Putting wins on the board every fucking day. They love me on the team because I know my fucking place. Better get in where you fit in, I'm delivering the meaning. I inherited the demons, always sneaky, never seen them. If I'm breathing, I'm reading, I'm not even being conceited. I need to see for myself if you think that I'm believing. It's the season of reason, y'all be seizing the research. I'm receiving the meaning, that shit's called teamwork.
It's not so much as so little has to do with what everything is. But it is within our self-interest to understand the topography of our lives unto ourselves. The future states that there is no time other than the collapsation of that sensation of the mirror of the memories in which we are living. Common knowledge, but important nonetheless.